preacher comes later. Not me. I just wanted to share with you a few things from our recent move to Colorado. We moved last August, a year ago, and it's been really good, but I miss you all. So we've been at Pointe Valley Fellowship. We were there. We got married in 1970, Mike and I. And when we moved, there's a whole list of firsts that happened for me. And I was going to tell you some of them. It was the first time I have ever gone to a church that has a pastor and a worship band. Uh-huh. That was a shocker. And it was every time they meet at this church, they eat. I always thought it wasn't real spiritual to always have food at a meeting, but they've got to have food. I have made some amazing friends there through the help of Hannah and Neil, and she'll share some of what happened then. I have three ladies that I meet with regularly, and we pray for one another, and it's good. I thought I could never survive without all of you. I can't. It's the first time we don't have a mortgage. We have a basement. Oh my goodness. Having a basement is just the best thing ever, because you can put all your junk in it. Everything you, yeah, where are we gonna put that? In the basement. Yeah, it's good. My first time to wear snow boots to church. I have heated seats in my car. I have a home I can clean in 2 hours, which is really good. And I'm cooking with electricity, and it's not too bad. And let's see. And we're in this church fellowship where we have found a place and gotten involved. And I say to you, if you ever move to somewhere else and you have to be in a new place, don't go sit in a pew and then say, nobody talked to me. They don't like me. You have to make a vow to yourself, I'm going to be involved and I'm going to reach out. And Kathy Taylor has done that in Baton Rouge, and that's how it has to be. So, and finally, I realized how privileged I've been to spend so many years with you all. Raised a family, it was a learning ground, a quarry where you beat the rock out, and a building place, and those years have proven to be very valuable. And when you go to other places, they'll say, how do you know that? And so thank you all for being family. Okay, now Jeannie quoted my verse last night. Please turn to Proverbs. I'm not really not going to preach a sermon. This should be quick. Proverbs 4. 20 to 23. Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. And there was a reason why we sang this song just now. The last verse talks about our heart. Verse 20. My son, my daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are a life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart And this is a theme that we've been on Sunday mornings. The messages have been, we've been going through Proverbs, which is sometimes difficult, but it's just been wonderful. And though this one that struck me and has been just pounding away at me is this: keep your heart with all diligence. That's the New King James. The NIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And the New Living, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Okay, that's great. So what's your heart? What is your heart? It's the totality of your inner life, your center, your core, middle, hub, inaccessible place, inaccessible to only you and to God. My heart is what makes me me. It feels, it reacts, it expresses opinions, not me, obeys, disobeys, gets hurt, angry, loves, spoils, decides, and you can go on. But what does God say about my heart? Tell me, what does God say about my heart? It's wicked. Yeah. Jeremiah 17:9 says our hearts are desperately wicked. And we don't really believe that, do we? Unless the Lord has shown that to us, we say, yeah, I'm kind of okay. In Genesis, the time of Noah, it says that the heart did evil continually. So we've got a problem, because even if we belong to Jesus and we've accepted him, our heart still is prone to wander, prone to leave the Lord we love. So it says, keep or guard your heart with all diligence. So what does guard or keep mean? It's to, losing this, retain in one's possession, to have in control, to be faithful to preserve, not neglect, maintain, watch over. And we love our own hearts. And anything you love, you will take care of. If you love your children, you will tend them and take care of them. If you have a garden, which I don't, I have, I think, one tomato, which is gonna get frozen when it snows on Monday. So, and people have things that they love that they tend. Some people love fitness, so they tend to that, and that's a big deal. So anyway, the heart is our command center. It's what controls everything we do. So the guard of the citadel, which is the fortress of our heart, the guard can't go to sleep. We can't have a sleeping watch on our hearts. It has to be strong. So if the whole heart is captured, in this case, by our love for the Lord, then it's going to stay where it needs to be. Otherwise, we're off and running. And we as women probably are worse than the men at getting distracted and wanting to do this and that and having so many busy things to do that we kind of leave that behind sometimes. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, only take heed to yourself. This is in the law, way back when. Diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, And, by the way, teach them to your children and grandchildren. So it's not just for us to guard our hearts, but for us to teach our kids and then our grandkids who are living in this insane world that we live in. And they need us. So, we have an enemy. Satan is well aware of the weakness of our heart. Sorry, she'll be looking at you, but I can't see you over there. He's aware of our weaknesses, and so should we be. Hebrews talks about the sin that entangles us. And once we're entangled, getting untangled is not so easy. Okay, so can I guard my own heart? I mean, it tells me that I need to guard my heart. Can I do that? No, can't do it on my own. It's God's work. But we need to have a humble, dependent spirit to do so, which is a lifetime job. I'm 72. I haven't figured it out yet. Well, to some degree I have, but... if the heart is captured, the whole person will be handed over. So we have three things that need to happen. If you need to write them down, do, because I thought these were, I just find this to be really helpful. Number one, our heart needs to be cleansed. A heart that's not clean before God can't do what He wants us to do. Okay, now, if we've believed in the Lord as our Savior, we are cleansed from sin and we are saved. And that's a one-time deal. We don't need to keep doing that again. Our position is that we are God's child and He has saved us and cleansed us from the sin that is in our nature. However, every day there get to be stains. We do things, we think things, we feel things that stain our hearts. It's a natural thing because we're human beings. So, what's the answer to being cleansed? What's the one verse? I'm big on memorizing verses. Monday night Bible study, gals will tell you that. What's the main verse that we can go to if there's sin in our heart and we need that to be done away with? Somebody, can you quote it, Katie? Confess. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. We don't need to do penance. We don't need to grovel. Come to Jesus and say, I did it again. Cleanse me, please, Lord, and fill me with your righteousness. And He does. That simple. We can't hide from Him. We're not putting over anything on God. So first of all, being cleansed. Then, and not more important, but really important, number two, the heart needs to be fed. We need to feed our hearts. And it's so important, and this is where my problem personally is, it takes time to feed your heart. So, we're fed by spending time in the Word, by reading, meditating, hearing messages, praying. And there are three things under number two. The heart needs to be fed, but there are three things under this designation. First of all, okay, how's your time in the morning? Well, I've got my coffee and I've got my Bible and I've got 23 minutes before I have to. And we've all been there and are there, especially those of you that work. Stay, this is A under number two, stay long enough to delight. Stay long enough to delight. Psalm 37, which is up here somewhere. Psalm 37, 3 and 4 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of his heart. Dwell in the land. Dwelling is not staying in a motel. Dwelling is living, and the land is Jesus. So staying long enough, dwell on him. Feed on his faithfulness, and you will be captivated by the word. The word will speak to you, and you can read just a verse and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? I've got to be dwelling. It's really important. Number two, number B under that is listen long enough to hear what he's saying. Now, Hannah's talked to me a lot about this. The tendency is to talk and pray. We pray and we ask God and we talk and we don't listen. And I'm, thank you, Hannah, learning from my daughter that there's time to just close our mouths and hear, listen what he's saying. And there are a lot of verses which we won't read. Isaiah, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight in abundance. And then in Psalm 81, God says, oh, that my people would listen to me. We don't live in a listening world. We'll say about somebody, oh, he's a good listener, she's a good listener. It's a rare thing. So that was B, listen. And C is rest long enough to recharge. You're tired, you're weary, you're overwhelmed. Go to the well. Go to Jesus. Matthew 11, 28, he says, come to me and I will give you rest. And Psalm 23, he makes me to lie down beside still waters. He restores my soul. So that's the feeding. Stay long enough, listen long enough, and dwell, and rest, excuse me. Number three, the heart needs to be protected. Okay? We have an enemy that hates us. His name is Satan. He's called the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12. And he attacks us, he attacks our minds, our thoughts, our families. And what is he called in 1 Peter? He's like a roaring lion, except we don't get it. But he is trying to devour us. Mm-hmm. So let's go look up 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5, well-known verses. Have to take those thoughts when the enemy comes to accuse, take those thoughts and give them to the Lord. Whoop. I'm not used to this. 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's how we protect our heart, by bringing all of these thoughts into captivity, giving them to the Lord. He will be the one that protects our hearts. So, as we hand ourselves over to him, he takes over. And we don't have to do this struggle that we all live with. So, just to end, Philippians 4:7, another familiar verse that you need to memorize, okay? It's another memorable verse. We'll read verse 6 and 7, Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That's the bottom line of all of this, is bringing our hearts before the Lord. He will give us peace and guard our hearts. And so I'm learning a lot. And it's something it would have been good if I'd learned it 50 years ago. But the Lord is faithful, and I hope that you can kind of process that as you're up here walking with Him.
Is that mine? Yeah.
Is that too long?
No. Perfect.
We're going to sing He is Exalted. I do not know the page number, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We'll find it.
What is it?
641.
Exalted.